God. He is the eternal, the majestic, the sovereign Lord who has no equal in all the universe, yet He graciously comforts and strengthens all who trust in Him.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, let me ask you, what do you know about God? What do you know about God? You might say, well, God is, he's very powerful. Isn't he? He has all power. Yep, that's true. What do you know about God? Well, he is also quite knowledgeable. He knows all, he has all power. He has all knowledge, knows everything. I said, what do you know about God? Well, he's present everywhere. There's no place you can go to get away from God. He is always there. Well, that's true. That's true. He's triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's true. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What else? He's holy. He is just. He is sovereign. He is loving. He is gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. He is all of those things and much more. And we say, that's true. These are all things that we can know about God. But I don't want to just ask you today what you know about God. I'd like to ask you, do you know God? Not know about God. Do you know God? Do you know God, or do you only know about God? Because there's a big difference, isn't there? We can know all about a person, but not know that person, can't we? In fact, there are many, many more people in our lives that we know about than we truly know them, right? We can know all about people we've never even met, but we don't know them. And there may be people in our lives that, well, we've met them and we know some things about them, but do we really know them? And we may even enter into relationships, deep, abiding relationships, intimately. We can even enter into marriage and still some days ask ourselves, do I really know this? I don't even know you, right? So knowing things about a person is not the same thing as knowing that person, that relationship with that person. And so God, He wants us to know about Him. He has revealed Himself in His Word. He wants us to know about Him. But more importantly, He wants us to know Him. That intimate relationship. Well, I'd like us to take some time today as we read through God's Word to reflect on God's majesty, to behold, look upon your God. Look upon your God. But not just so that we might know more about Him, but so that we might be drawn closer to Him and to know Him. As we continue our series in Isaiah, we'll be in chapter 40 today, Isaiah chapter 40, where there we will see that God, He is the eternal, the majestic, the sovereign Lord who has no equal in all the universe, yet He graciously comforts and strengthens all who trust in Him. It's amazing, this high and exalted and majestic Lord of the universe, and yet He stoops down to strengthen you and me. And He wants you and me to know Him, not just know about Him. So before we turn to Isaiah chapter 40, a little context, you see that God's people, they were called to know their Lord, to be obedient to their Lord, but they had been disobedient, and despite many, many years of warning, they eventually then came under God's judgment, under God's discipline, for their disobedience, for their idolatry. So God's people had been taken into exile. But the promise was they would be brought back. They would not remain in exile forever. They would return, and God would forgive their sin, that he would reestablish them in their land, and that he would send a Messiah, a deliverer. And this Messiah and deliverer would bless them beyond what they could even imagine at that time. And there would come a time then when they would come to experience what we call in the scriptures the millennial kingdom of blessing. And so that day was coming. Yes, God's people, judgment is coming on you, and rightly so. But there's hope for the future because God isn't finished with you. He will pardon, he will restore, and he will bless. He will pour out blessing in the Messiah and in the kingdom to come. So as we read through Isaiah chapter 40 here today, I'd like us just to reflect upon God, upon the majesty of God, upon the nature of God, upon the works of God, and not just to know more about him, but that through pondering these things and meditating on these things, we come to better know him, that relationship. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 tells us, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So we start off then as we contemplate, behold your God and the nature of our God. We see that God, he is a just God. He is a righteous judge, but he is also a God of mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Are you glad for that? So he says, speak tenderly to my people. You've been judged for your sin. But know though now that the time of that judgment has come to a close. Your warfare is ended. Your iniquity, your sin is pardoned. Your disobedience, your idolatry, chasing after other gods, worthless idols, that is pardoned and forgiven. And that the Lord's discipline that was upon you then now, that has run its course, and now you have forgiveness. So we see that God is a gracious and forgiving God. Continued on in Isaiah 40, starting in verse 3, it said, "A voice cries," and see if this sounds familiar anywhere else you may have read this in the scripture. "A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So here we see that God is a God of hope, forgiveness, and hope, that Messiah would come. Messiah would come for his people. What are we told? What? Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Messiah is coming, so make the way ready for him to come. Now, who else said that in the scriptures? John the Baptist, right? And John wasn't making that up, was he? He was quoting the scripture here, and he was fulfilling this scripture. That Messiah would come. Jesus was coming. But before what? The people must prepare the way. Now, when they were told to prepare the way, to make straight the way, what are they being told? Repent. How do we prepare the way of God for the coming of Messiah? They were to do that by repenting. Repenting and submitting to God. In the same way today. Now, Jesus has come. Messiah has come. If you are a believer, he has come into your life. But I don't know about you. I still need to keep preparing the way for Messiah in my life. Don't you? to continue to prepare the way for him to come and do his work and his will in my life. And we do that by repentance and submission. And the scriptures, and when we do that, God will do great things in the midst of his people. He will level things in front of us. That is, he will make things right. Prepare the way. Repent and submit. God is a God of forgiveness, but God is a God of hope. Messiah is coming. In their day, Messiah has come. In our day. Right? But is Messiah still coming? Yes, he is. He's coming again, isn't he? Messiah was coming. He came. Messiah is coming again. We look forward. We look backward to his coming, and we look forward to his coming again. Right? Verse 6 says, a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. By the way, you may notice some very familiar verses in this chapter here today. But that's another wonderful verse there, isn't it? The grass withers. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Life, the way of life in this world, mortal life, it's all fleeting, isn't it? We are here today, and we are gone tomorrow. Now, I know some of our younger people here, you're thinking, man, life is forever, isn't it? You're going to live forever. Remember when you were a little kid and it seemed like life was just stretching on and on forever in front of you? Remember when summer seemed like a long time? Remember how exciting that was when school was out for the summer? That was one of the greatest experiences as a kid, wasn't it? That last day of school. You went to school that day and it was only a half day. You're only going to be there for like a few hours. And you're just going to wrap up some things. You didn't really have to do any hard work or anything. You're just going to wrap up a few things, collect up a few things, and then you got to go home early. And then what? You had the, I see it back there, Steve. I see that, right? And you what? You had what? The whole summer ahead of you. What is the whole summer in front of you today? Whoa, it's gone, right? You blink and the summer's gone. How many of you have summer projects that Labor Day is next week and you're like, I didn't get any of those things done, right? Life is fleeting. And then the years start going by the way the summers start going by. And now I'm coming to experience, and some of you are going to say, oh, you just wait, all right? But now it feels like a decade is going by in the way a year used to go by, right? Wisdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Life is fleeting. We are but a vapor. The people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But you know what? There's something that isn't going to wither or fade that's going to last forever, and that is what? The word of the Lord. God and his word, his purposes, his plans, his promises. These things, this will stand forever. It will never fade. So behold your God. He is a God of forgiveness. He is a God of hope. But he is also a God of perspective, isn't he? That shows us that we must not live for the things that are fading, but to put our trust in him whose word will stand forever. Then we are told, get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So God tells us to prepare. We're told to prepare. Hear the good news. Now, as Isaiah said, hear this good news. What was the good news? That God is going to restore them to the land, that Messiah was going to come, that he would bless them, that he had not forgotten about them. That was the good news. Herald, announce the good news. God isn't done. God is coming with blessing. Messiah is coming. Well, what is the good news for us now? Messiah has come, right? And the good news is the hope of forgiveness and eternal life and eternal blessing in Jesus Christ. This is the good news that we are to herald. He says what? The Lord is coming with his reward. Did you know that it matters what you and I do as believers in Jesus Christ, that God is going to reward, isn't he? And we may lose out on reward that could have been. But just as Messiah was coming with reward in Isaiah's day, for the years that would come, he is coming again, and he will bring his reward with him. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the reward that is due us. And the Lord is our shepherd who carries us and who gently leads. I'd like us to take a moment here now as we continue to reflect. I want to read this. Reflect upon the majesty of God in these verses. Right? Reflect upon the majesty, the greatness of God in these verses. He says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Imagine that, putting the ocean in your hand. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span? Who can just go like this to measure the heavens? Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who can take the earth and put it on a scale the way you or I would put a marble on the scale, right? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who did the Lord go to and say, you know what, I'm not quite clear on something. Can you help me out with this? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge? Who did the Lord go to and say, you know, I'm not sure what the right thing is here. Can you help me out on this? No. Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing, an emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compares with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains, casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when He blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like Him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, the stars. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. See the majesty of God. What infinite power that created all and sustains all. What knowledge that He knows how everything works and keeps it working and made it work and keeps it working. Who can instruct God? Who did God go to find out how to do all this? Who did God go to figure out what is the path of righteousness and justice? And what is the way of understanding? What is the way of wisdom? Have you had to learn wisdom over time? I have. So, who did God go to learn wisdom? No one. He needs no instructors, no counselors, does He? In fact, all of the nations, even the great and powerful empires of the world, they're what? They're like dust on a scale to Him. They can do what? Blow them away and they're gone. The nations rage. We're fearful. And God laughs. He is the sovereign ruler. So who can instruct God? No one. And the Lord asks, to whom will you compare me? Pick out someone in all the world and say, is God like that person? No. God's power, God's knowledge, God's wisdom, God's sovereign rule, God's majesty. In fact, He calls out the stars and He knows them all by name. How many of you enjoy like astronomy, like constellations and the naming of stars and checking all that? Oh, there's the Big Dipper. Everybody knows the Big Dipper, right? Everybody knows that one, right? And then there's a few others, like maybe Orion or Cassiopeia or some of those, right? Well, God knows them all. Well, that's a lot of stars. There must be, my goodness, there must be hundreds of stars out there. Oh, there are. No, there's. Oh, there must be thousands of stars. No, there are. Oh, there must be millions of stars. Oh, there are. Oh, there's billions of stars. Yeah. No, actually, you know how many stars there are in the universe? Well, it's beyond our ability to count, right? In our galaxy, there's several hundred billion. And our galaxy is one of several hundred billion galaxies. So there's several hundred billion galaxies of hundreds of billions of stars. You do the math. That's a whole lot of zeros, isn't it? And God calls them all by name. He is the majestic and sovereign Lord. Well, this is quite a picture of the majesty and the greatness of God. I don't know about you. I get pretty exhausted and weary some days, don't I? You? Do we need to sit in fear and exhaustion and weakness? Or can we look above to the majestic one? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Really? And my right is disregarded by my God. God doesn't see me. God isn't looking out for me. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think we should post that last verse there in the family center. I know we got some people that walk, you know, around here, and sometimes walk around the. What do you think? They shall walk and not faint. Would that be a good idea? We should do that, right? You're not God. I'm not God. We get weak and weary and exhausted, don't we? But he is our strength. So the Lord, then, is our strength. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God of hope. He is a God whose word stands forever while our lives are fleeting. We must prepare ourselves for his coming in our lives, for his work in his life. Reflect on his majesty and be strengthened by his power. The Lord is everlasting. His ways are unsearchable. Try as you might, we'll never figure out the ways of God, will we? But he gives power to those faint. Even the strongest among us get weak and weary and fall. But God never does. But what? Those who wait for the Lord, those who trust in him, put their confidence in him and wait for him, their strength will be renewed, and they'll mount up with wings like eagles. You know, whenever I read that verse or hear that, I think of, and I know some of you know this place well. I hate the name of this place. It's a beautiful place, but I hate the name of it. It's a park in Wisconsin. It's called Devil's Lake. I hate that name. It was popular back in the late 1800s to call everything the Devil's This or Devil's That, you know. So it was the Devil's Lake. And I remember being there one time and looking, and this incredible view you have of the up. You climb up a little ways in there, and you're looking out of this, and looking up and seeing these eagles that are just soaring. Have you ever watched an eagle? The way it just soars, it puts its wings out, and the way it just rides and just. I remember watching one time. It was actually over by Johnsburg. I pulled over and watched this eagle that just. I think it was like 5 minutes where it didn't flap its wings once. You know, where it just kept riding the currents around and around. Amazing, amazing. And so God says what? When we put our trust in him, we will renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings like eagles. We'll run and not be fury. We weary. We'll walk and not faint. You know, it's one thing to know about God, but it's another thing to know God, isn't it? But I think one of the ways that we can come to better know God is by understanding and meditating and reflecting on the truth about God. So what do the scriptures tell us about God, about God's majesty? Well, we could spend quite a bit of time on that, couldn't we? But I'd like us just to put some characteristics or attributes of God up here on the screen. And just think about these for just a moment. And here's your homework assignment. By the way, you can get copies of notes on the library table of this. But contemplate these attributes of God. So God is self-existent. He is self-existence. That is, God does not depend on anyone or everything, anyone or anything for his existence. That he always was. The scripture says what? I am. He is the eternal, self-existent one. He is the ground of his own being. He does not depend. Why are you here? For a whole host of factors on which you are dependent, right? You're here because of your parents. Well, how'd your parents go? Well, they're parents, and so on, right? And also, the fact that you are here now and you continue to exist is because there's something called oxygen in this room. Take the lock this all up and take the oxygen out. What happens to us? Does God ever have to worry about getting locked in a room and the oxygen being taken out? And you know? No, you see, He is the ground of all being. He is self-existent. He is eternal. He's not locked in time like you or me. God is not waiting to see what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't have to remember yesterday the way you and I do. You see, He sees it all yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's eternal. He's outside of that. And He's not dependent on time. And that means, you know what that means? When He tells you something, when He promises you something, He's not hoping it works out that way. He already sees it. He's imminent. What does that mean? That means that He is present here with us. And yet He's also transcendent. He is above all things, and yet He's right here with us. He is both imminent here and transcendent above it all. That He is unchanging. Means what? God never changes. Isn't that good to know? He is absolute perfection in all ways and all things. And one of those qualities of perfection is that He never changes. If you're changing, that says what? You're not perfect, right? And aren't you glad God doesn't change? Aren't you glad to know that the God you're dealing with today is the same God of tomorrow and the next day? And the same God who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of you and me here today? The same God who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is your God and your Heavenly Father here today? He's omnipresent. He's present everywhere all the time. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Nothing is impossible for Him. He is holy. He's righteous. There is no sin or stain within Him. His character is absolutely perfect. He is truth. He's incapable of lying. He is the ground of all truth and reality. And He's incapable of ever misrepresenting it. He is love. Isn't that good to know? Can you imagine a God who is all of those things but was not loving, who is not good? And He's just. He is a righteous judge. But isn't it good to know that along with that justice, there is also mercy? There's mercy and grace, merciful and gracious. I'd like us to reflect here in closing. And Matt, I stole this from you from the board meeting last Thursday night. We were talking about something here, an illustration of something. And Matt said, you know, that's kind of the micro and the macro of God's greatness here. And I was like, that's right. I'd like us to reflect on the micro, the very tiny, and the macro, the very big, of God's majesty. You've heard about this before, I'm sure. You've seen this illustration before. But I want us to contemplate for just a minute the incredible majesty of God at the tiniest level. Anybody know anything about DNA? Well, if you don't believe in God, read about DNA. All right? You know, DNA is what makes everything be what it is, all living things. DNA is what makes you, you. See, DNA is like information. It's a computer code, like, that programs everything about you. Now, it doesn't make your decisions for you. It can influence your decisions. You're still responsible. I'm still responsible and accountable, right? But all of those chemical markers there, it's four basic chemical compounds, and how they're arranged, it's like a language that makes you, you. And DNA, this is found in the cells of all living things, plants and animals and human beings. And did you know that as human beings, we are 99.9% identical in our DNA. Did you know that? 99.9% we share the same DNA as human beings, but it's that 0.1% difference that makes us all different and unique. And you know that packed into every cell in your, and there's trillions of cells in your body. So there's trillions of these double helix strands of DNA with all these chemical codes and compounds that make you, you. Do you know that if you were to take all the DNA in your body, tiny, tiny little DNA, if you were to somehow, if you were able to extract it all from your body and line it up in a single row, it would stretch to the sun and back a couple hundred million miles. All of that is packed into you, and that's all the information that is coded into you that makes you, you. What kind of mind did it take to create that, to do that? That's the micro of the majesty of God, the micro. And now the macro of God's majesty. This is my favorite illustration. It really is my favorite illustration of God's majesty and power. Many of you have heard this before, and if you heard it, I'm going to beg your indulgence that you're going to hear it again. It's always good to hear again anyway, but if you haven't heard it, prepare to be blown away, okay? You ready for this? How powerful is God? How powerful is God? Well, he has all power. He can do it. Well, let me just give you one tiny little illustration of God's power. Think about all the power that it takes to run human civilization. How much power that takes each day on this planet to run all of our machines and everything. How much electrical power that takes. Well, did you know that every 2 seconds our sun is radiating energy, it's radiating power out into the universe. And every 2 seconds, the amount of energy that comes off of the sun and just radiates out into space is enough power, it's enough energy to run human civilization for 1 million years. All right? So that's one star. Now think about the God who created that sun, that kind of power. He created by his power, by his word, out of nothing. Now that's something to behold right there. But then think about this. Our sun is just one star out of several hundred billion in our galaxy. Our galaxy is just one galaxy out of several hundred billion in the observable universe. There are other stars out there. There are stars that are much, much larger than our sun. So think about the power of the sun, how much power is coming off of that, the power it took to create that. And then think, you know, the largest star that we have seen, that we have observed, is called UY Scutai. I know it's a funny name, but that's what it's called. And it's just a little bit bigger than our sun. How much bigger than our sun? Oh, it's 10 times bigger than our sun. No, it's bigger than that. How about 100 times bigger than our sun? Who thinks it's 1,000 times bigger than our sun? How about 10,000? All right, I'll top you. It's 1,000,000 times bigger than our sun, right? No, it is 5 billion times bigger than our sun. Did you know that? Can you see that little, you see that little, where you see where it says sun? Look in the 10 o'clock position by where it says sun. You see that little dot right there?
A piece of dust.
Like a piece of dust on there? That is our sun. You can't put it. That's just a tiny fraction of it. That's how big UY Scutai, one star, is. Now, if our sun is given enough power every 2 seconds for 1,000,000 years, how much power do you think is coming off of that star right there? And that is one star out of the countless. And God created all of that, how? By willing it into existence by his word, out of nothing. Can you and I, do we really understand God's power?
No.
So God wants us to know about him, but more importantly, he wants us to know him. To know him. So what? Well, the eternal, majestic, sovereign Lord, who has no equal in all the universe, graciously comforts and strengthens all who trust in him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to find your comfort and your strength in him. Does he have enough power? So how can we know him? Well, I would suggest that we meditate on his attributes. Take this list of things and think about what that means. There's some great resources out there you can read to help us to better understand the attributes of God. But of course, what's the most important resource for us to understand God? This book right here, right? Get to know Him in this book right here, in His Word and in prayer. Meditate on His attributes, but then know God. Know God through His Word and through prayer. This is the first and the best resource, the best book. But can I just suggest another book that you might find very helpful to help you better know God? It's a classic. Maybe some of you have read it. You know, it's by J.I. Packer. It's called Knowing God. This is a wonderful book. I'd highly recommend it to you. If you want to see and reflect upon the majesty of God and His attributes, understand those better. But then more importantly, come to know God better. I think you'll find a lot of great wisdom in this book right here. So meditate on God's majesty and come to know God better through His Word and through His prayer. And make use of the resources that God has given us to better know Him and understand Him. Behold your God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time that we've had to behold you, to reflect upon your majesty and your greatness. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom and insight as we reflect upon your majesty, the greatness of who you are, the greatness of what you've done, the greatness of your power, and yet, Lord, you stoop to comfort and strengthen those who wait upon you. So, Lord, would you strengthen us today, encourage us today, teach us, Lord, to walk with you by faith. And may we honor you then, Lord, each day in all that we do, all that we say, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.